OFC Podcast Radio.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Farrah Hammond Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence right here on OFC Podcast Radio. But before we do anything else, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens listening.
Blessed melanated rising, my people. I am so grateful to life, grateful to God, our creator, and our ancestors for creating yet another opportunity for us to be able to be on air and to be on here. Blessing each and every one of you guys. And I just ask that today's show, let it be very uplifting, let it be encouraging, let it be entertaining. Most importantly, let it be empowering as we send out that spirit of love, light, unity, strength, great health, wealth, and peace to each and every one of y'all. Hotep, amen. Ashe, aibobo. You're in the great Wagwizio.
You know what it is. I mean, I'm on my Sade voice this week because I lost it. And so
is that a part of the healing? Does it get worse before it gets better?
This is it being better.
Oh,
I had to be. I was on a whisper register before. I had to whisper because I had no voice. So
was that the sign? Oh wait, I just heard coughing. So you're still coughing though. So coughing and voice.
Well, I'm definitely still coughing, especially when I'm talking. But like, I have work to do, so that comes with it.
That's just it.
But I have my moments. I don't know how to tell you anymore. Like, yeah, sure, still healing. I thought I told my body I was healed already. Maybe I didn't do it enough gusto for it to believe me. But you know, hey, we're getting to it. But
and your CMOS intake is what?
Oh well, the thing is, the CMOS person I used to get CMOS from isn't CMOSing anymore, and so I haven't found a new person. So I'm not CMOSing. CMOSing. You know,
check the OFC directory under CMOS. We have, I think, two CMOS distributors, and CMOS will change your life, man. Shout out to Sabrina Carrington.
Yeah, I know. 2025 will be a year of help for sure. I'm gonna get back on it. But let me see. So how did this week go? How did it function? Right. So as you know, like, I mean, I lost my voice, and so that happened. But you know, it's rise and shine. It's boof season time, because you know what? I'm on my boof season. Sometimes people had to get boofed, you know. And
you said boof. I was like, I swear, you just said it's boops time, and I'm like, what is she saying? It's boops time.
Boof with a F.
Boof. I hear that.
Yeah, okay. It was time for some verbal lashing and some written lashings that happened this week. You were definitely privy to it. Not that it was necessarily to you.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Not that it was necessarily directed to you, it was directed to the group. Because for those listening, we have a group, and I went ahead and I changed the title of our group because, you know, we're supposed to be called the Fab Five, and right now it's not Fab Fiving, and so I stripped it of its title until we get it together. And you know, and like, so this week there's been a few things that I've been talking to a few different people, and I know the universe be knowing, because the universe is making sure that I'm not in certain rooms when certain things happen,
right?
Because I'm not in my like one it keeps my peace, but I'm also in my speaking with my chess era and like calling things out. Because I'll be honest, I'm very much I used to be very much like, if something bothers me, I'll watch it, I'll be like, cool, I'm just not gonna deal with you. You know, when you just you keep it pushing, I'm just like, that sounds like a you problem, and I keep it pushing. However, if you ever have to deal with that person again, and if you did not deal with it when the dealing should have been dealt, you risk finding yourself in that same situation again.
Fact.
And so I think I'm doing myself a service. I'd be doing the people a disservice, and I'm doing myself a disservice if I don't speak up when it's time to speak up. Not in a rude way. I'm still a person who has a lot of decorum. I'm not going to lie. That's how I function. Anything I do is never with malicious intent. And that's just not, it's not part of my personality. And I don't have the energy to be malicious. But I do now have the energy to tell it like it is. And when I say what I mean, and I'm going to mean what I say. And so to that point, in this group that we call Fab Five, it's always like, oh yeah, we should link up. And this is not something that is exclusive to what's happening in this group. This happens in your friend groups, in your family groups, in all types of different things. And it's just like, and you know, when you meet someone's like, oh my God, yeah, we should link up, let's do something. And then someone's gonna turn around like, okay, let's do that. Oh, it's been so long. Oh my gosh, remember when? So it's like, cool. Yeah. Like, this is popping off. Everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then crickets.
Right. Yeah.
And so at some point in time, somebody's gonna have to say, hey, listen, you make time for the things that matter for you. And you not showing up at the end of the day, like, I have no choice but to accept that as it being low to no importance to you, whether you intend it to be or not. Actions speak louder than words. And, you know, I'm about action, not a bag of malt.
You're an idiot. Go ahead.
So at the end of the day, I felt like that group needed a new title until we start Fab Fiving again. And still, I have to, because I'm going to stop being the incredible one. Because I was the incredible one in this group at the
same time. Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, now two times I couldn't find the group. Because I'm like, what? Did she call the group now? Ah, I can't even find it. I had to do a reverse search. I was like, what group's my Shing Regina? But anyways, yo, no, but you know what? I can't even hold you right now. First of all, it is that season. It's a season where anybody and everybody could and should get it. Because it's like, if we don't, it's gonna, the shenanigans will continue moving forward, and we're not trying to bring shenanigans into forward motions. So
if you shenan once, you're gonna shenan again.
Yo, that you will shenan again, and that's the thing. The now, okay, in the defense of people like myself, life has been lifing, like, on many fronts, right? Mm-hmm. So if we are gonna say, hey guys, we need to be paying more attention to each other, it should be on all fronts. So that is just a reality. It's like, yo, but this is what it is. But, you know, I guess I have a, it's like a gray area, because I can understand, you know, you give time to what is important. Yes. But on the same set speed, like, I forget to eat sometimes. Right. And yeah, it's super important. I need it to live. And it's not that I don't love myself, but it is just because the way life be life, and sometimes the way things going on, you could think before you know it, you're like, oh my goodness, the whole day went by and I haven't eaten. Or, oh my God, the whole year went by and I haven't even checked that person. Or, oh my gosh, I had all these plans for 2024. I haven't done jackassness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking, it's not, so that's why on one side I could understand, yes, you make time for things that are important to you, but then at the same time, it's like, yo, where's the let up? Where do we make the time?
I hear what you're saying on that. And, like, realistically speaking, and I'll go back specifically to this group, the requests aren't even coming on a weekly basis. They're not even coming on a monthly basis at this point, right? And it's coming at the, when you do happen to cross paths with somebody's like, oh man, we got to do this, cool, cool, cool. Literally, there might be three things in that given year that, you know, we say, hey, let's go do this, and people are just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's no, and like, some of these things are don't even have a cost. Some of these things is like, yo, who's lineman? Like less lineman.
Yeah, yeah, but no, but that, okay, and not to deep dive on the whole situation. And I don't know if you have anything else that happened to you this week, but the point of the matter is when things like this, and like, one, the first thing that did come to my mind when I did see that post, though, was even beyond just us, like, yo, we need to get together, like, you know, like, we need to get back to doing stuff. We should, just as family, as cousins, maybe take a time to get serious about getting on a call, like a Zoom, a conversation. Because
see, even that's something.
I know.
Have to be physically together.
Yeah.
And like, okay, no,
but I mean, not even just superficially. I mean, to have a conversation about this topic, because it is, it's like, you know, if we want to be real about it, we should address it real, because it's like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. So I think
that's why I had to put words to it. I'm just like, all right, like, because again, like I said, I'm the one in the group saying like, yo, let's do this, let's do that. And then it like I said, it's crickets, or it's like, it's first, it's like, oh yeah, great idea. And then you don't hear anything. Okay. So at the end of the day, I've done what I had to do. And like I said, for me, if people care enough, they'll do something. That was my final action. Right. If you're in there, I'm happy to jump into anything else, but you know, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll like that, the thought did come to my mind, and again, of course, just because with the same point that we're making right now, the thought came to my mind, and I was like, yo, I should propose we have a meeting, and then that was it. I forgot, you see. So to your whole point, so I'll it is something that it is worth it, and we should, you know, make a point at least jumping on a call or on a Zoom to see while really greasy. All right.
So on another note for my week, I watched, I don't know if you watched this or heard about it, but Culinary Class Wars, cooking show on Netflix.
No.
I'm gonna tell you, okay? If you're into like Top Chef, Iron Chef, Master Chef, if you're a fan of any of those, this show, let me tell you how Koreans do game shows, man. Okay, they know how to do game show TV. They know what they're doing. And I want to put honorable mentions out there. Physical 100, The Devil's Plan, The Squid Games, they whole created a whole game challenge to that. Like they really do some really good game TV, let alone this Culinary Class Wars. It was perfection when it comes down to like a cooking show or competition that. So really, if you're into all that stuff, if you guys are looking for something to watch that you can binge very nicely and that's really well done, and they don't play because you know they started with like 100 chefs. First episode, half of them got cut. I was like,
Oh,
they
dope.
come to play.
Nice. Okay. So it's that kind of jump.
Yeah, it's keep you on your toes. Like, yo, you only get one shot a la Eminem Green Mile on this joint. Like it was really good. So I definitely enjoyed that. I enjoyed that watch. It took me a while to kind of watch it because I think they're like an hour each episode, which is not it's not like the easy 20-minute binge of things, but definitely something to look out for when you need that decompression. You just want to sit on a couch and watch a little something. Culinary Class Wars.
Dope.
That was my week. How was your week, Farrell?
Yo, Gina, we're living parallel lives, okay? Because you see when you started and you're saying this whole thing about having decorum and not wanting to be malicious, but you got to let people know what's on your mind, like what is really going on. I had a little of that. And the thing is, Gina, I do need to take a couple more sips from your decorum glass, because clearly I don't have enough decorum, because that is my problem. I have no problem letting people know exactly how I feel and what is happening at the time. And I actually have been told that I do not practice enough decorum when I'm expressing my thoughts or my discontent for a particular situation or a person for that matter. Now, so this last week, I had a couple of scenarios where I had to share my genuine thoughts about how I felt about a particular individual or particular individuals, because it happened more than once. And one part of me, I was like, man, like I need to not be so expressive when I'm not content about a particular scenario. But then another part of me was like, you know what? 2025, yo, which is in a couple of weeks, we can't be bringing in the same shenanigans from 2024 into 2025. So what you're saying, I was like, yo, Gina was in my head this weekend, because I was like, you know, what's that? It's like I shared the little meme or the post. It's like you're always gonna be the bad guy in somebody's story. Somebody, no matter what
Yeah.
you do,
Always
no matter,
you're somebody's villain.
yo, you're always no matter what. So at this point, I'm really dedicated to ensuring that things are done better for our community and for our youth. And when there's nonsense that is going on behalf of quote unquote community, or people are doing things and they're like, ah, it's okay because of community. Nah, G, I'm gonna pull your card and I'm not gonna be nice about it. Now, the problem is that I see that second part about not being nice about it. This is where I have a conundrum, because I think if you're trying to get the point across, spare the rod, spoil the child. You see, if you're trying to get a point across, sometimes nice. This doesn't necessarily work, because people continue to dance on that, Gina. They dance on it. They take your kindness for weakness regularly, Gina. Am I lying, Gina? Do people not take advantage? Like, I've been in this game for a long time, Gina, and I live and I watch people do things to me, like not just to me, to other people even. And I'm like, man, it's just because that person was nice that you just spat on them, walked on them, give them two kickback, and kept them moving like it was nothing.
Sure, but let me say this because
Yes.
I don't love the spare the rod, spoil the child,
Okay.
as a quote
Right.
personally. And I do agree that sometimes people take
Yes,
a
kindness
kindness
for
and
weakness.
weakness.
Yes.
I do agree with that. However, in comma, I will say this, that someone can only do to you what you allow. And just because you're a kind person doesn't mean that you always have to be nice, but it doesn't mean that you have to be rude about it either. You can just be forward about it and you can be blunt about it. And you are allowed in every situation to set your boundaries and to stay true to it. And so setting, and I want to make sure that we don't confuse setting boundaries with being rude, because it's okay if you say like okay, and like again, I guess I'd have to understand exactly how people have been pushing the cursor. But when in your particular case, right, you say, hey, this is what I do. I'm here to help the community. However, in common though, like I want it to be like-minded people. Like if you cross a certain boundary, or if you're not in that same window, like don't think like, ain't nobody Jesus yet. We haven't reached Christ-like
Christ consciousness, right?
Consciousness. Right. I'm not turning the other cheek. And at this point, I'm really kind of wondering, did Jesus really say that? Because then I'm getting all slap up.
Well, you see, okay, you're talking, and I guess that's the catch 22, because the way I'm looking at it is that we want to make sure that people are being held accountable, and there's consequences to actions. The reason I say that, because without consequence, there are no thing. People don't really respect nothing really going on. So being held accountable at times, what that means is that if you're supposed to do something for a particular member, or you make a commitment to do something for a particular member, when you don't follow through or when it doesn't go according, if there's one thing to be like, yes, I'm remorseful, and this is my remedy. And then there's it happens.
No. There's consequences to your actions.
Consequences to your actions, right? And when and I guess that's where I'm at. And this is where I'm trying to find that happy medium, because I just feel, real talk, Gina, if we as adults don't start adulting with each other, holding each other accountable, our children are going to grow up and watch us all like we're waste, because we haven't been able to actually accomplish anything really, because every time we sat around the table saying we're going to do X, Y, Z, ABC started to happen, and or we started to do something and then somebody in the collective decided to bring the whole damn thing to nothing, or decided to go left with the initiative. And then we're all sitting around like, oh, well, too bad. So sad. Let's start again. And it's like, so what? This person could just come in and just wreck the whole ship, make us have to start again from zero, where it's actually really only impacting our children, and we should just kumbaya about it? That's what you're trying to tell me right now? I think somebody should be held accountable. Somebody should be like, yo, why did you do that? What was your plan there, and how are you going to remedy this? Because if not, I have to go back to my children and explain to them why we didn't establish anything. I've been working on this with you for the last 5 to 7 years. So wagwan, right? And I'm just giving random scenarios, right? But I'm just saying, and this is because I'm seeing things in the community that we just allow. And it's like, we have to stop allowing this. And you know what? This has nothing to do with any particular groups within the Montreal Carnival. But I recently heard that, again, we have more than one group bidding for the carnival again, which is creating another division instead of the groups sitting down and coming together and saying, let's do this. Again, to me, that's embarrassing. For me, there's somebody there. Somebody needs to be held accountable. How did both you guys decide that you guys are going to do this and create this division within the city again? Like, and then it's like, we have to grow up. We have to figure this thing out.
The question, when you're saying, how did you both decide that? Is one of those parties have everybody else on their side and there's just this one outlier, or you have two separate groups of people who are doing two groups and applying?
Very, very great question, Gina. Great. From what it looks like, and you know what? It's a good question, because even from the outskirts, I can't say, right? And because I can't say, I'm not gonna give no judgment, because I don't know which group is stronger, which group or whatever be the case. What I could tell you is, from our experience that we had last year and for the experiences we've had over the last couple of years, for the sake of the community, for the sake of the future, for the sake of the culture, I feel there was enough time for the groups to meet together as adults and figure out an approach. Now, at the end of the day, for sure, there's one group that the majority of the city was already in line with wanting to support. The other group must have their own reasons why they want to apply. But then again, it still puts us in the same, we're back to square one. And I just feel that it's like, at this point, guys, like, when do we take ourselves seriously? When do we start saying, like, you know what? Okay, like, if you guys want to do it, like, just let one body do it and give them the leeway to try it for a couple of years, and then let's all go to the next. I'm just saying, when are we going to stop this battling each other?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm really just actually jumping on you when you're talking about it. Is this a unique problem in Montreal? Or is this what they go through in Ottawa and Toronto? Like, I mean, do people have to bid? And again, it could be because of how we do it in Montreal. When they actually make their decisions, it's too close to the parade. Whereas other cities, they can they can afford to be multiple people who bids. Like, I just want to understand that before we get on, because I also understand that not everybody wants the same things.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So,
but look, I'll tell you what it is. For what we're dealing with here, we have groups that have different approaches. The carnival is in July. The deadline to apply is sometime in November. Now, when there is, so that gives a good 7-8 months, I guess, right? Like, it gives you a good window. But when it ends up happening is when there's more than one group who's bidding, nobody gets the confirmation until April, leaving a very short window. So that's what creates this whole lag. So what is always proposed and what's better is that instead of multiple groups applying, that they just come together and just let one application go in. If not, then the alternative is both groups apply and then move forward from now until July or until April, as if they both, like, not knowing who got it. So at least they could start laying down some type of foundation. But, you know, like, but anyways, my point even wasn't with this particular scenario. I'm talking like where I've seen opportunities to do collective investments that can't get off the ground because people are fighting each other on it. I've seen people come together working on projects, sharing ideas and concepts and to do something collectively, and then one person veer off and go try to do it on their own. I've seen atrocities where it's like, how can we be doing this as a community and no one being held accountable? So I just feel that as a people, if we're going to really do something seriously moving forward, it is time that we take a pause for the cause and we start holding ourselves accountable. My challenge right now, like I said, my conundrum is I want to do that with love on my lips. You know how I am. I want to share love first. I want to lead with love. So hence why I have this conundrum where I'm like, yo, people need to get it and they need to feel it. They need to know what time it is. But at the same time, I'm not the judge. I'm not man's judger. I'm not the judger of man. But at the same time, I do work for the community. And I feel like if anybody's going to hold people accountable, shit, I can hold people accountable.
I mean, you can and you should, but you got to know who you got to hold accountable for. Because at the end of the day, let's say you're going to 10 people with this one idea and you say, like, I'd love for all 10, like, let's all 10 go and do this together. You might have two who be like, that's a good idea, but I have a different vision. So those two will go do it themselves. Don't be mad at those two. Focus on the 8 that you have to go and get it done and built. So don't focus on convincing 100% of the people to kind of move with this. When you have the like-minded people, build what you can, because when you build it, you know the people will come. And so that one will make your life a lot easier. Two, you can just kind of say, and for those people, when they come back and be like, oh my gosh, we should have done this together. It's like, cool. Hey, you're still welcome, but understand you won't have the same standing because you weren't the founding 10.
But should like, not, you should not still be welcome though on that note. And that's my point. Like, after you done shown your Judas-y ways, where we open back the door to you, you tell you come back to this table. Anyways,
I'm saying that to say, because you always want to, you do want to practice unity and community, but I do agree that all skin folk aren't your kin folk. And I agree that you also, as a consequence of your action, you also have a right to say, I'm sorry, this is not for you. This is no longer for you because we have different visions for what we want. So, you know, best of luck on what you're doing. You found your tribe. Because when we're talking about community and we look at that, when you look at the places who haven't gone through what we've gone through and the division of the people, the dividing and conquering and all the slavery and stuff, like even when you go into the places where they haven't had that, you still have different tribes and different, you know, communities who those who were like-minded came together and built their village, as did everyone else. So start with a smaller village and be successful at that so that when you can grow.
Thanks, Gina. Great. I appreciate for that. So with that, guys, I want to now, we'll take a quick pause for the cause. Then we come back with Parley with the People. I want to just again leave you guys with some quick words of encouragement, enlightenment, or motivation, however you want to take it. But I would like for you guys to really accept what you are in this experience. You are a non-physical entity. You are a spiritual entity. You're functioning in a human body. You are two in one at the same time. And it is really important that you acknowledge that in the times that we're in on the planet. Just remember that there's that part of you inside of you that is yearning for your attention, yearning for you to acknowledge that it's there. And its desire is to help guide you through this life experience. You are not alone in this. And it's so important for you to grasp this thing now, this understanding now, this concept now, because the fact that there's some challenges that we're currently experiencing and going to be experiencing, that without that discernment or that connection to yourself, so discerning, knowing what to listen to and what to follow, and to know and knowing how to listen to yourself, without that kind of discernment, you're setting yourselves up to go through a bit more of a challenging time than you need to. Yes, you signed up for the challenge, but you did also set up some cheat codes for yourself that I would really like for you to access before you need them. I want you to be prepared for them. I want you to know that you have them at your disposal. But again, the most important thing is just remember what you are, and remember that you have a spirit inside you guiding you through your emotions. Your goal is to feel good, brothers and sisters. If you don't feel good, pay attention to that. Be guided by that. With that, send you guys mad love and stay tuned as we're now taking a pause for the calls. If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of hjcourtierauto.com. That's hjcourtierauto.com. If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. Mainstreamdigicom.com. You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out Java Logics for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out Java Logics. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out javalogics.com. No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying M-City Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Faro, bigging up, mcitysolo.com. Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to West Can Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, westcanfolk.com.
Girl, what are you cooking?
My curry chicken.
Ooh, you're burning it.
Oh, gosh, it looks so...
It's okay, girl. You need the Curry House. They have the best Caribbean food in town. Two locations in Montreal, West Island and Côte-des-Neiges. For more information, follow Caribbean Curry House MTL. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour for your 10% discount.
So, who placed in the order?
Me.
DeVito, WizKid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeats Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeats MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeats in the city. Check out Afrobeats MTL. One full circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
I have the one and only Shiata Lewis from West Can, who's popped in to let us know what's going on. West Can has something special going on this weekend. Welcome, Shiata.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a quick pop-in, everyone. Yes, my name is Shiata from West Can Folk Performing Company. We do Caribbean folk dancing, drumming, singing, and storytelling. And we are proud to say that this weekend we'll be hosting Shaquille Jones from Tobago. He's a powerhouse choreographer we met last summer, and we just happened to be able to bring him to Montreal to work with West Can to help us develop our repertoire. And we have a very, very special open workshop that's available. We're going to be hosting it on Saturday. That's December 14th at 4 p.m. at Nyata Nyata Dance Studios on St. Laurent Street.
Wow, Nyata Nyata. Shout out to Nyata Nyata. They've been representing for the culture as well for a very long time. They have an amazing new studio. Actually, I should reach out to Sisters. It would be awesome to, one, have them as members of the community and to really promote their location, let people know exactly what's going on.
Zab's amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. It's called the Nyata Nyata Dance Creation Center. The address is 4231 St. Laurent Boulevard. That's in Montreal. So we'll be hosting, we'll be there from 4 to 6. So feel free, pop by, dancers, singers, drummers alike. It's a $20 contribution, but you're helping. Well, you'll be learning about Caribbean folk culture and folk arts and the impact that the Tobago Folk Company and Folk Arts has on the genre.
That's amazing. And it's, and actually, and shout out to Shaquille, when we were in Trinidad, when Westcan went to Tobago for that culture. Yeah, and it was amazing to see. I have to say, hats off to Tobago just for the way that the culture is represented out there and preserved. And like, I went into these huge theaters and workspaces just to, you know, and ashamed to say, when I was there, I actually thought that they were renting the space, like, you know, from some big company, some big theater, to come to find out that no, they own the space. This is the actual cultural center. The dining place has a school in it, a museum, a library, a office spaces, classrooms, dance practice studios, big performance theater, big open back. Anyways, guys, just to say, it's amazing and it's great to have this brother here with us. I'm looking forward to myself being able to connect and just participate. And how do people register, or who do they, where do they need to contact if they need more information, or if they want to, if they, they want to sign up?
So you can give us a call at 514-641-9149. We can send you the registration link. You can also follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Westcan Folk. Westcan Folk at Instagram and on Facebook.
Also, thank you.
So thank you so much for having us on the OFC Podcast Radio. Thank you to the team. Thank you, Drew, Gina the Great, and Pharaoh. Thank you guys so much.
Peace.
Parlay with the people.
All right, beautiful people. So we are back. So first of all, just to give a little background. So Brother Kim and I've actually had an opportunity to connect with Kim, not just through the OFC, just as a brother in the community. Actually, when it came to find out that at the time, like his house was like right down, practically walking distance from the OFC, I was like, my G, you're around the corner. I'm coming true. I have to say, Kim is a brother in the community that we're proud of. He's done awesome things in terms of advocacy, in terms of representing for the arts. It is a pleasure to have him as a guest with us today on Parlay with the People. And my brother Kim, thank you for blessing us today on OFC Podcast Radio.
Well, thank you for having this platform and for inviting me, because, you know, without an invitation, I couldn't come through.
Well, it is my pleasure. And, you know, it's something that we said we're going to be making even more of an effort to do throughout the 2025, sorry, coming up. It is really to reach out to the members of the community, let them know, yo, this platform is for you. It's your platform. We want you guys to be on here. We want to share what's going on. We want the community to know you guys. And this is one of the easiest spaces and opportunities to be able to connect and plug in. So yeah, thank you, sure. King. So, and actually, so as we're taking the op, now, as our listeners know, I love to dive into business. I love to create opportunities and to promote. But now in this particular case, before we dive in, I like to give you an opportunity just to introduce yourself to our listeners, for those who might not know who Kim Nomik is.
I consider myself to be a lifelong artist. I have been practicing art in some way, shape, or form since 1997. And that's like moving into professional art, moving into studying uniquely art. And by art, I mean the performing arts. But I was actually doing it from way before then. So when I was 17 years old, I got into theater school. And then in 2000, I got into a film program at Dawson, and then the film program at Concordia. And the sky was basically the limit after that. I was hugely into poetry. I grew up in a family that had a lot of love for what I would come to know as Black music and Black art. For me, it was just art at the time. I didn't really think about it within the context of Blackness. But having been born here and raised in the Caribbean gives you a level of freedom that I feel like my diasporic counterparts who stayed in North America and Canada don't have. Like, mm-hmm. getting up every day and going to school and being surrounded by Black and brown people and having everybody sound exactly like you with a Jamaican accent. I don't have the accent now because I constantly code switch for Canada. But yeah, it's a very unique experience. And then coming back here is when I realized I was Black. Mm. And so what am I passionate about? I'm passionate about art, and I'm passionate about providing platforms for art to continue, because I don't believe that I am the beginning and ending of any kind of art form. I believe that I was put here, yes, to use my voice to share my stories, my poetry with people, but also to be able to create platforms that other people of a variety of artistic backgrounds can come through and share with people. Because like Nina Simone said, art, the responsibility of the artist is to reflect the times. And you can only reflect the times from your individual perspective. You can't reflect the times from everybody's perspective. And so for me, it is important to have as many people from diverse ages on the stage sharing their truths, sharing their art forms. So that's a huge, huge part of what I'm passionate about.
Yo, my brother Kim, and spoken like a true artist. Like, it is like you're an example of art. You are an example of it. And I really like the term lifelong. It was a lifelong artist, lifelong artist. That is, and that is what it is. And I could say just from interacting with you, I'm trying to remember one of the first opportunities I had to watch you deliver a piece. And it, if I'm not mistaken, was it at one of your Mad Poetics events, or was it at the Black Theater Workshop in the Mai? I'm trying to, because it's like, because I'm seeing you in my head, I'm seeing you perform, but it's mm-hmm. but you do it in a way, because you've been doing theater. You said, when did you start doing theater?
I started studying theater in 97.
And when was your first play that you did?
The first time I acted in a play?
Yeah.
It was in 98, because first years weren't allowed to act in plays. Are you talking about plays in general, or are you talking about play in theater school?
I'm talking about where I would have seen you, because it's like...
Oh, where you would have seen me in a play? The first time I was in a play was in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So
which one was it? Like, did you
that was Blackout, the Concordia Computer Riot.
Okay, that, because but I feel like it was something big, and I was like, yo, bro, yeah. Like, I saw you, and it was like, it gave me goosebumps watching it, and it was that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Sorry, gee, you're talking, and I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm like, where was it? Like, I'm like, and that's why
yeah,
I was like, Black Theater.
In the
but it's
because
I'm thinking Clarence Bain. So I, you see, that was the association in my head.
It's all good. Yeah. It was. I was in a play the coordination of the writing was by Table d'Hôte Theater. Mm-hmm. So Mathieu Murphy-Perron wanted, in 2018, gathered a group of, I think, between 20 and 30 artists, BIPOC artists. Mm-hmm. And we kind of hashed out this play between, I want to say, February of that year and June. And then, like, we all brought contributions to the play, poetry, soliloquies, using actual transcripts of like court documents and newspapers in order to try and bring to life the students' perspectives. Because we always had the administration's perspectives. We had even the perpetrator of racism. For the people who don't know, the Blackout, the Concordia Computer Riots is based on the Sir George Williams affair that occurred in 1969. It was a week-long affair that I don't remember when it started, but it ended on, I believe, February 11th, 1969, with what was a fairly peaceful protest held on the ninth floor of Concordia, which were the computer labs at the time, turned into a violent insurrection by the police instigated by D.B. Clark. D.B. Clark was the one who called the police on these students. And what were these students doing? They were protesting the fact that there was racism in academia, and a specific professor was grading students based on their race and not based on the actual results of their work, because their work wasn't subjective. Their work was scientific answers to questions, which you can't, which cannot be subjective. So they should not be subjectively graded.
That's exactly it. Wow. Well said.
And so we brought that to life in 2019.
And did you ever, did you ever bring that to life? And this is really what I mean. So kudos to that. And if anybody, I don't know if it's available anywhere, any publication, any video, but it is. Definitely.
Yes, the play is available. You can purchase it. Playwrights Press Canada published it last year, 2023, spring of 2023, and it's available worldwide for purchase. We encourage folks to purchase it because all of the proceeds. So one of the things that happened is after that big cohort of like 30 artists finished writing and gave like a meaty script, four of us, myself, Mathieu Murphy-Perron, Lydie Dubuisson, and Tamara Brown came together and refined the script into the version that is available for purchase now and was the version that was put on stage.
Nice.
And so all four of us agreed collectively that all the proceeds that go towards purchasing one of these books goes towards Desta.
Wow,
because Desta is actually located in Little Burgundy. And for folks who don't know, and I'm sure a lot of the folks that listen should or do, Little Burgundy was kind of the hub for the Black community that was holding the students, that was like giving the students support. And Little Burgundy has such a rich history just in general for the Black community, the NCC, the Negro Improvement Association, the Union United Church. It's such a
youth in motion. Shout out Michael.
And we felt like that this the Black Youth Network was the organization that we wanted to support with all of the proceeds. So every time someone buys a book, a certain percentage of it goes towards Desta. None of us see any returns from the book. We didn't get paid outside of like the what we got paid for to like initially write it. Right. All of the proceeds go towards Desta.
Yo, kudos to you, brother. Kudos to all you guys in terms of just doing it really for the art, doing it really for the passion, for the culture, and for the love. So that is huge. So thank you for that. And thank you for bringing us down that walk. And, you know, sorry, I really had to pull that card because I'm like, wait, I feel there's something you're not talking about that was huge that I remember. But anyways, so now you have taken the art and you have your own production company. So if we could just take a moment just to deep dive into that, like basically the inspiration behind creating this company, where like, and you know, like it's Mad Poetics Production.
Yes.
And so a little bit of the history and some of the projects that you're working on.
Mad Poetics Productions, technically you could say that I started creating it as early as 2002, 2003. And it started off with a meeting between myself and three other spoken word artists. I'm sure you'll know the names: Jason Steele Joseph, Rowan Higgins, and Kat Blenkinsot, aka Lady Catalyst.
Yes.
We met in my living room and I discussed with them this idea of Mad Poetics. And the MAD in Mad Poetics is actually an acronym. A lot of people don't know this because it's not put out there, but it's music, arts, drama, and dance.
Wow.
So like people think it's just mad as in madness, but no, it's there's a purpose behind it. And what I wanted to do was to create a space with professional artists who are training the next generation of artists, who are giving workshops, who are giving space for rehearsal. Like this is ultimately where it's supposed to go and what I would ultimately like to do. So yes, we are producing events and stuff like that, but from 22 years ago when I had the idea was always to support spoken word artists like as the primary, but then all artists as like the next level.
I love
that. So eventually, obviously, like We always have ideas and things take a back seat, but it never took too far of a back seat. It was always like right behind my shoulder. And as I was going through school, so I finished Dawson, studying at Dawson, and then I went to film school in Concordia, finished the film. As I was finishing the film production program, one of the things that I noticed is that there was not much of me or people who look like me in the workspace of film. So I had the opportunity to go into different workspaces in terms of film, and I just didn't feel welcome, or I didn't feel like I could gel in this space. And so I said, you know what? It's coming up to the end of my time at Concordia. Let me build my own company. And I said, okay, we're going to start with Mad Poetics Productions. And I decided to go the route of doing something that was going to grab people's attention. And we created the erotic poetry show, The Art of Performing Aural, Aural Sex. And that kind of took the city by storm. And for quite a few years, from 2007 to 2011, that was kind of the only show that I was producing, because I was also hosting different slams and I was doing a lot of different things while having a full-time job, so kind of managing everything like that. And in 2011, when Bad News Brown was assassinated, because I believe that was an assassination, not just a murder, my girlfriend at the time, my partner at the time, she said to me, "Why do you wait until artists pass away before you honor them?" And that hit me in my chest hard. She couldn't have hurt me more if she threw a brick in my face, you know? And 2 months later, we created the Mad Poetic Soirée Intime. And the Soirée Intime was an open mic night that featured at least one artist per month. And then we got up to the point where we were featuring two artists per month. So that ran from 2011 to 2000, I want to say 17. And we took a break from producing shows. We also had a slam, and we also produced a lot of different one-off shows, including, well, the Phenomenal Five wasn't a one-off show. We did three different editions of it. So we did the first edition in February of 2016, then the second edition in May of 2016. And then in 2017, we got a grant and we did a 5-day presentation of the Phenomenal Five. And the idea behind the Phenomenal Five is taking five Black women from different artistic backgrounds and bringing them on one stage. And at first, it was like, okay, this is the artist. This is the first artist. They do their set. This is the second artist. They do their set. This is the third artist, etc. But when we got that grant to be able to do it as a play, we took all of the artists' different works. Myself, my assistant director, and the stage manager sat down at a table and laid out all of the work, and we went through and labeled each one based on the general topic, the general subject matter. And then we divided them up and put them in order. And so it became more of a play. And then what we would do is, yes, there would be people that are doing individual pieces. So they might be alone on stage. But what we did is we incorporated the other women in order to support it. So there might be one person singing. Like in the last show, we had Stella Adjoke singing, but then she had like a mini audience on stage with her in the other four women. You
I
know,
love
and
that.
for Elena Studley's work, now I just want to preface this, like I'm no dancer in terms of like training. I got a couple years training in theater school. I love to dance on like a dance floor and stuff like that, but I'm not a dancer. But Elena Studley is known for her vocalization and the music that she creates with her using uniquely her voice as an instrument. And we needed to have some kind of choreography. So we did, we couldn't just have Elena alone. She needed to be supported with the weight of the choreography. And we created that choreography as a collective, as a group. And it's very simple things. Now, no hula hoop, one and two and three and four, five and no. It was very, very simple to go along with the mood to create a dynamic image that you can use your imagination while also watching it. And so there's that. And then there were like one-off shows. We had the 4111, which was myself, Aaliyah Truth, Rowan Higgins, and Sven Stillermack, kind of all in black hoodies. And the setting was really cool because what we did is we took white tape and we did kind of chalk outlines, and we were all essentially killed black people with our hoodies on, and we performed this piece. We didn't get to work it much. It was very much an experimental piece, but we performed this piece to a live audience kind of surrounding us, and it was pretty awesome.
You know, and the thing is, like, as I'm listening to you, and I could close my eyes and participate. One, I'm kicking myself because I think I even remember some of those, and it's like obviously, and it's funny. Gina and I were talking about it before, like at the top of the show. It's always it's like there's things you want to do, and then just life is lifing, and you never actually. But then you're missing out on experiences, and that's my point. Is that like listening to how you put the, like you and the team and the people that you're working with, you're creating experiences for people. It's not just to come and sit and be entertained. It's like, and this, the reason I love this, and I love creating this platform for, or at least a space for people to come to find out more about it, is because we're here on this planet Earth to have experiences. And you know, and it's like, and you never know, that one experience could inspire something in your mind, open you up to something else that sends you down this rabbit hole that is your new life just because you were inspired or your whatever be the case. But because we're a lot of us are so caught in this, you know, in the mundane of what is life and this on the rat race and on the go and the trying to make ends meet and the social media eating up a half of our time because we're just caught watching other people do randomness, it's like we're missing out on what is this life experience. Experience, you know. So again, so kudos to you and what you're doing. And I think it's a great segue as we transition because you have something coming up that we can now give the community an opportunity to plug into and not miss another experience, so to
Yeah.
speak.
Yeah. So, doing all of that, so we stopped producing shows in 2017. I produced one show, my Born Jamaican Canadian one man show in 2019, as like it was supposed to be kind of my restarting of producing again. But as we all know, March 16th, 2020, the pandemic hit, and I kind of was just like hands off of any kind of producing. I didn't try to find community online, didn't try to do anything like that. But last year, 2023, I had the opportunity to bring my first play to the stage as a stage reading, and that went really well. And we were at Mainline Theater, and I really enjoyed the space. I thought it was very intimate and very beautiful. And I wanted to bring back my Soirée Intime series, so the open mic series. And there was something that was like, something was resisting within me, and it said, Kim, you can't bring back the same thing 6 years later. You can't just bring back and be like, okay, here's the same old thing that I was doing before. And so I had this idea that I have to give credit to different artists because my show, The Art of Performing Oral Sex, the erotic poetry show, was inspired by Duane Morgan, who has a poem that's called I Love to Perform Oral Sex. Again, with the AURAL, just for people. And so that was inspired by him. And inside Mad Poetic Studios, which is the show that I came up with, was inspired by James Lipton's Inside the Actors Studio, which was a show that ran from the, I want to say, the early 90s up until I think 2017, 16. But James Lipton passed away in 2018. So I'm not sure when the show ended. I don't know all the details behind that. But I was like, this would be a perfect way of synthesizing the open mic night, having the feature perform, but then doing exactly what the Soirée Intime set out to do from 2011 on a much deeper level by incorporating an interview between myself and the artist, myself as the host and the artist. So in that respect, we're upping the ante. So we're giving more to the audience. So it's one thing to get to know an artist through their music. It's a whole other thing to have them answering questions that, while simple in the way that they are composed, can ask for someone to go really deep into themselves and have some really amazing exchanges on the stage. And then afterwards, after I have about 10 to 12 questions that I ask the artist, and then after that, as a kind of honoring James Lipton and all the work that he did, I ask his final 10 questions and
Nice.
then open it up for the audience to explore their curiosity and find out more that maybe those 20, 25 questions didn't answer for them.
Man, brother, that is awesome. And I like creating that space for the artist to be able to, well, and you can tell me, would you say it's the artist, the questions allow an artist to be a little more vulnerable and let people know a little bit more about themselves? Like, or is it already more business oriented questions in terms of, just so I can understand the type of space that we're creating?
I wouldn't say that they're business oriented questions.
Okay.
I would say that it really depends on the artist, because
okay.
if the artist wants to go deep
true.
And
right.
expose and like show their heart, the questions have that space in them.
Amazing.
There are some simpler questions like, you know, what would it take for you to do your art full time? Stuff like that. But
yeah.
there are also very simple questions like, where does art come from? That is six words,
yeah,
which can lead into like a whole dissertation, depending on the person.
True,
right?
Yeah.
Depending on the person, some people have just very simple answers, and simple is just as beautiful as those long dissertations of like, oh my God, this is where I believe that art comes from and stuff like that. And I deliberately try to phrase the questions in a way that it allows the artist to express themselves, as opposed to coming up with perhaps a more academic answer or a more socially acceptable answer.
I get
you know,
it.
I
Yeah.
want them to just be like, this is my perspective on
I
the
love
whole
that.
thing.
We didn't talk about it at the beginning, but I'm
yeah.
sure our listeners recognize the voice from Soul Perspective.
Every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30, Soul Perspectives on CKUT.
You got it, Ty. What do you mean?
FM.
We here. That's it. We are here. So we're family on this beautiful station. So that's just what it is. And I feel there should be a lot more of these things where we could jump on each other's shows and each other's platforms and, you know, to help each other.
100%.
You know, let's do it. Just let me know when you need me to come on, you know, or when you have a topic. You know, I'm all about community building and, like, especially when it comes to us circulating the economy, because I think it's our time that we have to focus on. But yeah,
yeah.
So let's not go too far off topic. So now, basically, so you've taken the concept. So now your next show you have coming up. So it's
yeah.
basically, so you're able to evolve. You brought in from what was really powerful and working in the past. You looked at where we are today and what can be really impactful, not just for the viewer, but also for the artists who are participating. So
yes.
now we're at a point now. So I know you just had a show that we had just missed, and there's actually there's one now coming up, right? So let's talk about it. So we have.
Yeah. So the show that y'all just missed. One of the things I have to acknowledge is that while I had a good show, without an audience, it was almost moot. And I was getting frustrated with myself because I couldn't figure out what are the best ways to get the word out. You know, like sometimes I'd get an interview and I'd be like, oh my God, the interview went really well. But then I still wouldn't get a lot of people coming in at the door. And so what I decided to do was I needed to stop trying to do it all myself and reach out to the community, reach out to people who are connected. Because one of the things that I realized is that it's not people my age. I'm 44. It's not people my age going to open mic nights on a regular basis. They'll go every once in a while because they got things to do. They got families that they need to take care of. They got a lot on their plate. It is the 20 somethings. It is the 20 somethings that are going religiously to these open mics and supporting them religiously, you know? And so I said, okay, let me connect with the younger community and see what happens.
Beautiful.
And so I reached out to AfroKeb, that is a platform that is for mostly for musical artists to feel supported in Quebec. Francophone musical artists, especially, to be supported in Quebec. They're doing some amazing things. They have regular shows. I believe it's quarterly. Every 3 months or so, they do a show. So they're doing amazing things. And I sat down and had a meeting with them. I believe it's four lovely ladies, African ladies, that are in charge of this organization. And I sat with them and I said, listen, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like for us to have like an exchange going on, exchange of promotion. I can give you tickets, you know, what can we do? And they promoted the Living Daylights out of the show. And then mic'd up MTL as well. I reached out to them. It was a bit easier because one of their two founders, so one founder is Titi and the other founder is William Cleofat. They are the ones that created it, Mic'd Up MTL, an amazing open mic night that as soon as they dropped their open mic list, the opening of their open mic list on a Sunday at 6 p.m. Pharaoh, I swear to you, at 6:05 p.m., that mic list is full. Then they
That's
dropped their
ridiculous.
tickets on the Tuesday. So they dropped the open mic list on the Sunday. They dropped the tickets on the Tuesday. Pharaoh, by Friday, those tickets are sold out. This is for an open mic
I
night.
love that.
This is not for, oh my God, we're featuring this big artist or that big artist. This is for an open mic night, my friend. And so I was obviously featuring TT, and I said, listen, I need your support because what you guys are doing is wonderful. I need there needs
Help
to be some
me.
mutual
Help.
support.
Right,
Help
exactly.
me. And while we didn't get the fill the venue, we still sold quite a few tickets.
Amazing.
And there was a few people that walked in at the door. So something worked about that collaboration. And I'd like to keep that collaboration going. Because I go to their open mics and I attend, and I bring, you know, when I'm able to get onto the list. What I will do is I will get onto the waiting list. Because I'm, you know, I may be 44 years old and I win slams and I do this and I do that, but you know, I'm not so egotistical that I can't jump on an open mic just like
That's
everybody
it.
else,
Exactly.
you know. And I need to,
Beautiful.
the thing about being a performing artist, if you're not performing, nobody knows you.
Yes, you're absolutely
The
right.
more
You're
you perform,
absolutely
the more you're out there, the more people will know you, the more they'll attend your stuff.
right.
And the thing is, it has to be mutual. It has to
Yes.
be mutual. You can't just be like, okay, I'm producing all of these events and I'm not going to perform. I'm not gonna. And I realized that once I had stopped kind of going and performing, I realized that the attendance, I started looking at the attendance of my past shows. I wasn't performing as much, so the attendance was getting lower. Because yeah, it's good to have your regulars, but you can't tap out your regulars. You can't like drain them. You have to constantly be bringing in new people
That's it.
into the environment. And
Wow.
so I realized that, you know, okay, I need to be out on the streets, not too much. Can I wear it on myself because me a
Is
old man now,
that yo, you already know,
but
G44?
still need to be doing it. I mean, I went to a slam a couple Saturdays ago and I won that. And I performed one piece off book, and like not off book, but on book, and the other piece from memory. And I killed it. I killed it, you know? And that to me is just a testament of like, and then the power of the spoken word, you know? And I feel like everybody can come through and experience this. And the person that we're featuring is called King Chosen One. He came to the first show back in November that we did with Aaliyah Truth, November 2023. He came and he performed on the open mic then, and then he came back this December 6th, this past December 6th. And while we were there, I went up to him and I said, are you ready for a feature? He said, yes. I said, how's January 10th for you? He said, yes. We shook on it. And now we're about to release the promotion and we're about to start selling tickets and get everything ready and set up for January 10th. Because for me, it's not about having a big name. It's about putting artists who more than deserve the spotlight up. The previous artist that we had, Vero Brinchi, I had seen, she whooped my tail in the previous slam that we were both in. She came first, I came second. Right? And game recognized game,
That's
greatness recognized greatness. And I brought her on stage for the November show.
amazing.
And she was amazing.
My brother, though, this is something like I hope everyone else is as captivated as I am. I was just checking the dates. January 10th is a Friday, I think. So we're all good. We got nothing going on Friday. So definitely, and I'll still be in the country. So definitely put me down for two. Shy and I are coming. I'm telling you from all now. Let me as soon as you
All
have the
right.
tickets, I'm gonna buy them. I love that, and I love what you're doing. And this is definitely something where I want the community to come out. You know, and there's something that I find we don't get to do enough with the guests that come on the show. We just assume what you need, obviously, is for us to come and buy tickets and whatever the case. But as I'm listening to you, as an entrepreneur, because you're an art, you're doing things, you're a business owner as well. If I had to ask you, in addition to just us coming out and buying your tickets, how can the community support and encourage you?
Obviously there's a range of things that people can do. Everything from, following the social media handles, Mad Poetics at MadPoetix. But also, I need people who are willing to volunteer, who are willing to like we can barter and exchange our services, that's one thing I can do right now. I'm a grant writer. I also just completed a workshop series done by PlayMass Montreal for the Griot Nights workshops. So I did four workshops, two generative writing workshops and two performance-based workshops, and we had a mini open mic, a private mini open mic between us. And we're going to be having a show in March. I want to say it's March 25th, but
Yeah.
don't quote me on that.
Exactly. You'll
But
come back and talk about it for sure.
definitely we'll come back and talk about it. But I have not to be too corny, but I have a particular set of skills. And I can put this to the service of the community,
That's it.
like on the 14th of December, I was at the Côte des Neiges BCA, and we did kind of an exchange because this was more of a donation-based event. So it was Côte des Neiges giving back to the community, and so the budget constraints were a bit tighter, but we figured something out. We figured something out where I would receive something from the community while also giving of my services. So there are
That's it.
different ways to benefit from one another. And I find that when we start giving and exchanging our services as well, it allows more money to come into the community, which makes individuals and little smaller organizations and collectives to feel supported. And therefore, ideally rather, they will also go and support the others. Sometimes I don't always have, the $25 to go to an event, but I can be on your open mic and I'm going to bring some fire for your open mic and bring some more entertainment so I can do that. I can hop on the open mic for your event,
And there's a
which,
value to what you're bringing. So that's why it's not just like, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you're coming and you're providing something that could also be a value to the person. And it's important just because, again, being the one full circle community, it all comes around. It's karma, it's energy. We do unto others as we want done to ourselves, and we do for each other. Thank you very much for sharing that. And now, so now actually, if we could share the contact information for people to know exactly how to connect with you and how to reach you.
Yes, so if you want to get in touch with me personally at Mr. KD Ferguson, I'm super active on social media, probably more than I should be, but I don't ever leave unanswered messages in
Oh,
my
nice.
inbox. It's either answered or deleted.
Yeah,
meaning, anybody who's spamming me, sorry, you're getting deleted. But
right.
folks who have questions, comments, concerns, want to apply for the open mic, want to volunteer, at Mr. Katie Ferguson, best place to get to me. If you want to find out more about our events, there's two ways that you can do that. You can go to our social media handle for Mad Poetics, and that's at MadPoetix, or you can go onto our link tree. So it's linktr.ee/madpoetics, spelled the same way. And there we have our current event. We have our mailing list that you can join. We try to send out an e-blast at least once a week, depending on when the timing of our events, but we also try to support local events, mostly Black events as well. But we do support other events as well because, you know, if they're supporting us, then we're supporting them. We kind of do that
Exactly.
exchange as well.
Yep.
So yeah, those are the two best ways. Three
Yeah,
best.
that's what that's what it is. And obviously all OFC members, you guys already know we have our platform. Just search Kim, KYM, and you'll find Kim on the back of our directory, and all his links are connected there as well. So definitely reach out. Brother Kim, like this again, it's long overdue. And so I'm glad that we've had an opportunity to finally to connect and to create an opportunity for the community to really be able to deep dive with you a little bit here, to understand a bit more about you, how you think, the method to your madness, no pun intended. But it is really, it's cool to be able to deep dive in. Now, when we close out these interviews, I always like giving our guests an opportunity to leave our listeners with some either words of encouragement, words of inspiration, words of empowerment. Is there anything you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think I would be remiss if I didn't remix an old saying. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I remixed that and I said that injustice anywhere is the gateway for injustice everywhere. So, with that, free Palestine, free Congo, free Sudan, and free any country that is being oppressed by people who look unlike them, by people who don't like them, by people just like them.
Brother Kim, I would expect nothing else. Thank you for dropping us with, thank you for leaving us with that heat. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for what you're doing for community. Thank you for the example that you set. And thank you again for just being an empowerment to the artistic community. You are needed and appreciated, my brother. So thank you for blessing us again today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for this platform. I truly, truly do appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Actually, it's time to ungrind those gears. Let's get into some interesting facts, tips, and a whole lot of fun with Gina the Gray.
What the facts is going on? Apparently, crows hold grudges against individual humans for up to 17 years. So crows can, so the writer writes that crows never cease to amaze with their incredible intelligence, and it isn't confined to recognizing threats, it's also to holding grudges. So prior research indicates that crows possess the talent to devise tools and even count. Stories about crows dropping nuts onto busy roads, waiting for cars to crack them open, and then retrieving the food once the traffic stops. Some crows have even figured out how to use sticks to extract insects from tree barks or fashion hooks from twigs to fish out food from hard to reach places. But the study from the University of Washington undeniably contributes to affirming that crows place in the intelligence hierarchy amongst birds. And so crows, it appears, are creatures of memory, holding onto grudges and recalling threats even after a lengthy span of 17 years. So what's another fun fact about crows is that if you've helped them out, and I may have said this in a show back way back when, but if you help them out, if you give them food or like whatever it is, if they were hurt and you kind of help them, they'll bring you back gifts. And they, a lot of times it's like little shiny things because they recognize that that's like money. So they'll bring you back coins or like, well, whatever that's shiny. So sometimes it's valuable, sometimes it isn't. And I seen someone said like they didn't make bank off of the crow, but they sure did get like the, sometimes they brought them back rings because like they'll see things, they have good sight. So if someone lost some jewelry, they'll snatch that up and give it to you. So you end up getting rings and things for a couple of nuts that you left them. So crows are on point. I saw a video about a little kid. I think he was 5 years old because I think he was in kindergarten and coming off the bus and the crow waits for him to come home and he'll play with the crow. He lets the child like pet him. The child's mom tried to pet him. He's just like, yo, ma'am, I don't know you. And he moved off and he was just like, don't touch me. But the child, he's like, that's my friend. We go together. He checks out if he's playing outside. He watches over him. Like crows are, they're pretty interesting beings. So I found that to be a really interesting fun fact.
Yeah.
And for those who are hearing the voice, they're just like, wait, that's not Pharaoh. That's actually Kim. And Kim's joining us on my segment today. But stay tuned next week because you'll hear a bit more about Kim. He'll be joining us again for Parley with the People. But for now, I'm glad to have you listen to
Yeah,
this.
it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to stop in the studio and see how the OFC Podcast Radio is doing things, you know?
Are the sausages made? Yeah, indeed. So my motivational or my motivation quote today, I actually put action to something I spoke about some weeks back, and it was how to leverage AI to help you have a better vision or to kind of how to help you manifest, if you will. And it talked about putting in a prompt based on like what your life would look like in XYZ position. So if you wanted to be a doctor, if you wanted to be I don't know, a pilot, whatever, and then you kind of prompt it with walk me through a day of the life of XYZ. And so I'm a person who likes to travel. That's a very big passion of mine. And one thing's for sure is that I want to identify the things that I'm really passionate about in life. And like, how do you turn that into an opportunity to be able to live off of that passion? And so, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, kind of thing. And so I kind of put in the prompt, you know, to walk me through the day of my life of a professional traveler who, and how do I build travel partnerships? How do I generate revenue? What are my focus points in travel? And which just destinations should I focus on first? So that's kind of how it was. And I haven't read it. So we're about to find out what AI is telling me that I should focus based on that prompt. And of course, you can go back and tweak it. And I might go back and tweak it if it's just telling me things where I'm just like, not for
That
me.
don't make no sense.
Right? Like, that's impossible. But, you know, let's see what it had to tell me. So, a day in the life of a professional traveler. So, it gave me my morning, midday, afternoon, and evening. In the morning, I need to capture and plan content. So, wake up early, catch the best lighting for photos and video, shoot the sunrise landscape, bustling morning markets, a serene nature scene. Plan your content calendar, schedule posts, write captions, and respond to the audience's comment. Now, first and foremost, I'm going to say this, not to be contrarian or anything. I'm not a social media queen, by far from it. And already that first morning to me felt like a lot. However, would I be willing to do it if it meant that I get to travel to, you know, I travel for a living? Concessions can be made. We can make it work. Midday, it says to explore and network. So visit key attractions or hidden gems of the destination, meet with local businesses, and take behind the scenes footage of your activities. Your afternoon, you need to rest, review, and write. Take time to unwind at a cafe, at a quiet spot, review your content, work on your blog posts, videos, articles showcasing your travel experience, and research upcoming destination or pitch proposals to brand. And then in the evening, you want to engage and reflect. So engage with your audience via live session, polls, and Q&A. Partner with your local businesses to experience evening attractions or dining experiences, and reflect on the day and brainstorming improvements or fresh content. I'll say this for this. As much as I'm not a social media person, this already gives me a plan of like, okay, if this is what I have to do, and this is a proponent of what I need to be successful in it, at least it gives me a guideline and a step by step of how to do that on a day-to-day basis to eventually hopefully be successful. Building travel partnerships. So defining my brand, establish your niche, create a compelling media kit that outlines your value, audience, demographics, reach, past collaboration, and example of content. I'm probably not gonna, this is a long read, so I'm probably not gonna get into everything, but we'll get into the fact that it tells me to do research and networking, identify potential partners, reach out professionally. So send professional pitches to brands and businesses, highlight your value, and showcase your results. So deliver on your promises, high quality content, analytic reports, and long-time relationships. Then generating revenue, because this is what we really need to get at, because this is all fun and nice and dandy, but if it ain't paying the bills, I can't do this on a full-time basis. So sponsored content, partner with brands to feature products, services, and experience in your post, affiliate marketing, promote travel products, hotel services, etc., content creation services, digital products, and workshops and speaking engagements. And then it tells me for my focus points, unique storytelling, sustainable travel, community engagement, and quality over quantity. And then as destinations, it tells me to go to popular destinations, which it suggests Paris, Tokyo, or Bali for a wide audience appeal. Collaborate to local tourism boards to tap into large markets, emerging hotspots. So focus lesser on the lesser known trends like Georgia, Albania, and Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan, something of that sort. which is interesting because I'm seeing a lot more of that happening and coming along. People are just like, ooh, my best place that I've traveled. And they say like Croatia. I'm like, you know, I know that Croatia is kind of known, but it's not known like a destination like Paris, like
No.
Tokyo. But I am seeing a lot more of the Eastern Europe coming up a lot and people talking about affordable traveling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it talks about niche interests, like wine tourism in Italy, wellness retreats in Thailand, or adventures in Patagonia, and then local expertise. So showcase destinations you're familiar with and where you can offer unique perspectives. And that's an interesting point because that kind of tells me start with what you can locally and build that out, and then start building that out in your other places. So if you want to be a professional traveler, sounds like these are some bare bones for what you need to do. And that was just an example of one of my passions. I do think that it came out with a lot of good information to get you started. So I hope everyone can kind of take that prompt and build that out to kind of help you build out what you're passionate about
I think being a professional traveler sounds like a very dope thing to do. The only thing I was trying to grasp there is where's the revenue coming from again? Did I miss that part? Like where your revenue is coming
So
from? Okay.
generating revenue, yeah. So talked about sponsored content, affiliate
Sponsored content.
marketing,
Okay, that's it. That's
content
what I
creation services, digital products, and workshops and speaking engagements.
very dope. Okay, cool. Yo, shout out. That was chat, you said, right? Chat GPT.
I was chat, but you can use any AI tool that you're familiar with and that you prefer. You know, there is a plethora of AI tools that are coming out that have different purposes and so on and so forth. But of course, chat is open source and free. So
One thing I appreciated from the information that it generated was that it included rest, because that
Yes.
wasn't something I expected. It included self-care, and I think that's really, really important when engaging in any kind of work, is to allocate time for you to rest and recover from it. I mean, when you first started reading the first section about like, okay, wake up early in the morning, finding a really nice spot with lighting and this and that and the third, depending on what your life is like, waking up might not be the easiest thing. So you might need to rest at like 1 o'clock. You might need to take a nap after you do all that recording and content and whatnot. So I'm really pleased to see that was included as something that you needed to be aware of when becoming a social media travel blogger, etc.
So speaking about around the world on social media, I don't know if everyone's aware, and I think I want to bring this in because I thought back to when the whole Black Lives Matter was happening. And of course, if you were Black in any corporation, all eyes went on you on how, like, oh my God, I didn't know this was going on. And my reaction was like, how did you not? But then I also had to show grace that at the end of the day, I may not know what's happening around the world either. I may not know what's happening in Central Asia or, you know, certain parts of wherever in the world because it's not directly connected to me. So, yep. So that's a bit of what's going on around the globe.
Thanks, Janet. Great.
Now it's trivia time. Now here's the thing. Kim, I'm so glad you came. But I did tailor a trivia that I expected Pharaoh to get 100% on.
Because
Only because
I don't usually do that good, Kim.
no, it's not that. It's that I tailored a trivia. So Kim, how familiar are you or versed are you with Kwanzaa?
Oh no.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna step out of this
Me
one.
neither. Me neither. But you know what? You and I will learn together on this because, as I said, this is a fail pass trivia for Pharaoh because Pharaoh has been practicing Kwanzaa for years, and so
Yeah,
my
true.
expectation is that you either get 100% on this or you fail. I'm joking.
Yo, but don't expect me to know all the principles in Ting, because I don't know them by heart. Eh? That's why I have children for it, dude. I
Well,
could tell
well, well.
the
You turn
I
around
know
and
the
tell
basic.
people celebrate
I
Kwanzaa.
yo, bro, that's okay.
I need to
That's
know if you
all
know what you're telling them to celebrate.
yeah, gee. Okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead. I won't cheat because I was already pre mentally preparing to cheat, but go ahead. I won't.
This guy. All right, I got 10 questions for you. Question number one. Who created Kwanzaa and in what year?
Oh, something Karenge, Dr. Karenge, and don't ask me the year.
I'll give Karenga is yes, Dr. Milana Karenga in 1966. What does the word Kwanzaa mean, and what language is it derived from?
Celebration or a feast or like giving back harvest, something like that. All those times.
First of all, you said 17 different things.
Yeah, they all mean the same thing. They all mean this. They all around the same kind of thing. What are you saying, Gina? Oh my god!
They were not all synonyms at all. They were not all synonyms. Okay, Kwanzaa is one word. You gave me 15. And okay. What I might give you, I'm sorry. And what's the language it derives from?
Swahili.
It is Swahili, yes.
I was going to say Swahili too.
I will give you the point, Kim, just because.
Oh my God. Cursed in
Kwanzaa, so you're going to say Swahili too. It's a point for you. And it means, and Kwanzaa means first fruit. So the closest first fruit that was harvest, but I feel like you were just throwing out, spitting out words. Oh my gosh,
it was around them.
Throwing everything to see what sticks. Eh?
It's so funny because I just told my daughter, because she was answering some question and she gave me a million answers. I'm like, so you don't really know the answer, right?
I'm so glad this is happening. Who is it? Nzinga? Yes. Don't worry, I got you, Nzinga. Got you.
Actually, it was phenomenal, but thanks.
Ofen, I got you even more just because I know you've had to endure him longer. Question number 3. How many days does Kwanzaa last, and what are the dates it is celebrated?
Let's go with 7 days. And you said the dates?
Yeah, from what day to what day?
Well, it finishes on the 31st.
It does not. No points for you.
I want to say that it starts on the 25th and goes until the 1st of January.
So I'm giving you the point, Kim, because it's the 26th.
Closer. What are you talking about? Kim didn't get it either. What are you just giving
him? No. Sorry. It's the 26th to the 1st.
Yeah, true.
You just said like 31st, and you gave a random first date. No. Sorry.
All right. Give it to Kim. Give it to Kim. So it's clearly
so already, Kim, you got 2 points.
It's clearly favoritism going on. And I'm not. That's why.
Favoritism? She just met me.
It's rough in these streets.
No. No. You're supposed to know this, Pharaoh. Every year you do this, Kim doesn't even do this, and he knew the dates. Come on. Okay. What are the seven principles of Kwanzaa collectively called?
You said the seven principles of Kwanzaa? Answer that for me.
What are they collectively called?
I'm gonna put my answer in the it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Collectively, Kwanzaa collectively are called. They're not principles. Didn't you say principles?
There are 7 principles of Kwanzaa. What is the collective those principles? What do you call those principles?
Nah, son, I don't know, bro. I thought they were principles.
Well, I'm going to give Kim half a point because he tried. It is not Ujamaa. it's Nguzo Saba.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. Yeah, technically I should have known that.
Ujamaa is one of them, though.
Yeah,
Ujamaa like is one of the principles.
It's one of the principles, yes.
Right.
So because that's why I'm giving you half a point. At least you gave me a principle. But you know,
yeah, I said principles. I think that should be half a point.
No, it's not.
Go ahead.
Flower here making me do the old man laugh.
Like, let me say, right, so far, Kim, you're at 2.5, and Pharaoh, you're at 1 on the Kwanzaa trivia.
Damn.
All right, question number 5. What colors are associated with Kwanzaa, and what do they represent?
Red, black, and green.
What is red for?
Red is the blood.
Not incorrect. What is the black for?
The people.
That is correct. What is the green for?
Harvest.
I feel like you're just saying harvest. You keep saying harvest and things, right?
There's a harvest in there somewhere.
I wanna say green is for the land, but I also have no idea what red is for.
Red is for the struggle.
Ooh.
Green is for the future and hope.
Okay.
I did say blood. Blood is struggle, bro. You see what people die.
Is it? I think blood is life. I think
it was blood shed. Struggle.
Oh, you didn't say. Well, first of all, you didn't say bloodshed.
I said blood. Well, I didn't. Yo, it's radio. I didn't want to go too graphic.
Well, it sounds to me that there's no
Afraid of getting them censorship hits like on
way.
TikTok.
What's this
Can't
gonna talk
say
about
kill,
bloodshed?
gotta say on alive.
Next
All right,
question.
fine, June. Damn.
What is the name of the candle holder used in Kwanzaa celebration?
Kenora.
It is the Kenora.
Yes.
All right, 2 to 2.5 points. What is the symbolic meaning of seven candles used in Kwanzaa?
Oh my goodness.
I want to say 7 days. It's because each candle goes for a specific day.
Yes.
So it's the 7 day cycle.
7 day cycle. Pharaoh, don't just come and jump on the jump.
Like, no, oh, I was just saying that. Yeah, that was a good answer. I was, congratulating my brother here. What happened?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna give you that point because technically it is the seven principles, but the seven principles are recognized on each day. And
right.
So the symbolic meaning of the seven candles used in Kwanzaa is to represent Nguzo Saba. So that is
Nguzo Saba. Yes, I remember.
What is that? That's 2 to 3.5. That's 2 for Pharaoh, 3.5 for Kim.
Yo,
I am
keeping
impressed.
Track, really? Who's really keeping track? Go ahead.
I am fully keeping track. Okay. Question number 8. And Kim, you might know this. Which principle of Kwanzaa emphasizes unity within the community and family?
Ujamaa.
Ujamaa, yes.
I figured I just let him answer it because you know what I mean? It was he already had it from before.
Oh wait. Is that
right,
the
yeah. So you got it?
No, actually, I'm so sorry.
It's not? Oh man. My
it's
bad.
Moja.
Oh, Ujamaa.
Umoja.
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 Yes, that's not what it was. It was Umoja.
You did not know that, Pharaoh. You already said you didn't know the principles and that you rely on your children to know.
Oh my gosh.
They'll come in here and be like, oh, Maja, yeah, oh, no. Okay. Speaking of principles, what is the name of the feast held on? No, sorry, this is not a principle. But what is the name of the feast held on the sixth day of Kwanzaa?
There's a name to that?
There is a name. You be having this feast, you don't even know what it's called.
Every year?
Every single year on the sixth day.
Day of Kwanzaa.
I'll just
Nia? Nia? The Nia? No, go ahead.
It's Karamu.
Karamu?
Karamu. Karamu. Hopefully I said
okay, no. I never heard of it.
Final question. And what are we at? We're at 2 points to 3.5. Ooh, Pharaoh, there's no way for you to win. I can't believe this is happening.
This is it. I can't believe it either. Yeah, Gina, I'm not that surprised, Gina. I find every week, Gina, you find a way for me to not win.
Okay, no, I promise you, I literally did this for you. I was like, for sure he's getting 100% on this. For sure. I was like, this is not even a fair trivia. But and I figured, we're now in December. We're about to be in Kwanzaa. Let's do a Kwanzaa one.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm only ready for Kwanzaa next week, Gina.
That's not how it works. You should know your principles because what you learn in your principles, you should be doing that all throughout the year. But okay. Mm-hmm. Question number 10. What is the purpose of the gifts, Zawadi, given during Kwanzaa?
The purpose of the gifts? Well, the thing with Kwanzaa, when they're giving gifts, it's more symbolic. It's more of a, it's you're not just buying children stuff. A lot of times you're making gifts. It's a lot of crafts. It's a lot of, I can't remember what the symbolism behind it is, but it is more, it's that it's to make things. Opposed to just buying stuff. I can't remember what the principle is behind that.
Okay. Because I like the answer, I'm going to give you a 0.5,
Thank
but
you.
It is to encourage growth, self-determination, and achievement. So I especially like that your answer is about when you're able to make those gifts and when you're making, like it has a meaning to it. It's not just about what can I afford or what am I going to go buy and like here you are. When you can really build meaning into it and create that self-determination and achievement and just like being able to do things with your hands, I think that speaks a lot to what the season should be about. Well, congratulations, Kim. You won our trivia today. Look at you dropping in on the right day.
Applause. Okay.
next week, I'll probably do something else that has to do with winter or the holiday or whatnot. So just come prepared to answer December type questions. So I grind, you grind, and sometimes we need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Great, Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. I'd like to thank our special guests. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, and Drew and the Stew. Do you have any shout outs?
Brother Kim, you go ahead and got any shout outs?
I just want to shout out all the black people out there who are living the good life and living the right life and doing their best for the community. I'd like to shout out Mic'd Up MTO that are doing some really amazing things with bringing community together around spoken word, hip hop, and musical artists. Wishing them happy holidays, a beautiful season. And yeah, that's it for me.
Awesome. My shout outs. You know what? I know we do this every week, but I haven't thought of any shout outs too much. Oh, you know what? Here's a shout out. A shout out to Recovered People Pleaser. It's funny because I've been having certain conversation with people and they're talking about being people pleaser and how difficult it is for them to say no. I know it's hard for people pleaser. Somebody put a post, she made a whole song about trying to be a recovered people pleaser. And she said that one of her post-its that showed it's okay to say no. And then she scratched out no and she put in maybe. So I understand the struggle for people pleaser. Just understand that before pleasing other people, make sure you please yourself. And I think it goes back to like, don't take people's kindness for a weakness. Although sometimes when you're a people pleaser, it is your weakness. You know, just make sure you spend your energy with the right people. So shout out to you and become a recovered people pleaser, because everyone does not deserve your kindness.
On my end, I would like to give a shout out obviously to the community for the continued support. I love to see community supporting community, so shout out to the members who take the time to connect with each other and support each other and to be there. Always want to give a huge shout out to the family, sending love and light and strength. Shout out to the children who have gone through this season as we're winding down and about to go on a break, so huge shout out to them. And just a reminder, let me see when you guys be hearing this. It'll be, actually it should be in about a week or so. Remember, Sunday the 22nd of December, we are at Fun Zone. It is the last event of the year that we're going to be hosting, and we will have the membership card distribution going on there. It's a free event. It's a family event. It's starting at 6:30 p.m. In the evening. Just come on out. We'll be there with Westcan. They'll be drumming, dancing, and just letting us know about their new developments and stuff as well. So come on out. Come pick up your membership cards. Come out. Come bring the youths. Them. Come out. Come connect with other members of the community. Looking forward to building with you guys. Peace and blessings.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and myself, Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Stay blessed and highly favored.
OFC Podcast Radio.